T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Evan and Tiki on this beautiful Monday. Is it beautiful outside? I think the sun came out. I think it's actually going to be a decent night if you're heading out to Citi Field to see the Mets lose to the Tigers. That's not bad. No, I'm going to give you optimism. They're going to win tonight. Because if they don't win tonight and they're 0-4, you're going to start to see Evan tested. You're going to start to see the panic meter really being tested early in this season. We'll get you into tonight's game. Yankees are in Arizona against the Diamondbacks. It's a big slate of sports. But over the weekend, what became the defining moment of the Mets being swept by the Brewers was everything that happened with Rhys Hoskins. So obviously on Friday, opening day, he slides in a little bit late to Jeff McNeil. Jeff takes exception to it, barks at Rhys Hoskins, doesn't do anything else. Hoskins just lays there, doesn't do anything. Then when he gets to the dugout, he does the crying emotion. After Rhys the game, does. Rhys Hoskins does. Yeah. After the game, Rhys takes a shot at Jeff McNeil. And then on Saturday, the Mets had a chance, if they were that upset with Rhys Hoskins, to do something about it. And here's what drove me nuts, and I think this is very underrated in the Rhys Hoskins situation. In the first inning of this game, here was the situation, because Zach Short made a big miscue to really kind of get that inning started. It's 1-0 Brewers, they're second and third and two outs, and Rhys Hoskins is up, which means there's a base open. And there's a guy named Oliver Dunn on deck. Forget wanting to drill Hoskins. The baseball move is to walk Rhys Hoskins. Just a baseball move. Very basic. Hey, put him on base. Don't let Hoskins beat you. Go get Oliver Dunn out. You're down 1-0. No harm, no foul. So I looked at my buddy, who I was at the game with, nice gentleman named Dennis, and I said, Dennis, this is a drill him in the ass spot if I've ever seen one. Because it benefits them to put him on base.
Right, just to make an example, and then also do the right baseball thing.
It's the right baseball move. You make an example. What are the risks involved? Well, the risks are what we ended up seeing later. You throw behind them, it's a wild pitch, a run scores. Okay, fine. But the point is, put him on base, and if you're Luis Severino, make yourself friends with Met fans. First pitch, cookie down the middle, Hoskins rips a two-out single. So instead of the Mets showing just a tiny bit of guts, not that it would have changed the whole weekend. Not saying it would have. I don't know if it's going to fire them up. But at least do that and the right baseball move at the same time.
Whose call is that?
The manager.
So that's not Sevy. That's
well, he could do it on his own if he wanted, sure. But usually that comes down to the manager.
So if Sevy wanted to hit him, like do what you said, and endear himself to the new fan base that's hopefully going to embrace him. Maybe not after that outing. But you know what I mean. If he throws at Rhys Hoskins right then, and the skip says whatever, what's the repercussion?
Well, nothing. Baseball could suspend him the way they did Johan Ramirez, but I think if you drill him in the ass and Sevy's like, dude, it slipped. Yeah, you run the risk he's ejected like Johan was, but I think early in the game, maybe he doesn't get ejected. Maybe if it's not 10 feet over his head and it's just right in the back with a tuchus, maybe you get away with that.
I just think it's, for Sevy, it was probably much more important to try to have a good outing and try to get him out.
Well, having a good outing is putting him on base because the on-deck hitter is a guy that you'd rather face with bases loaded.
But you can't tell someone who's been in the league as long as he has that I can't get this guy out.
It's not about getting him out. It's a better matchup. That's why it was my baseball geekdom and my fake tough guyness mixed in a one, which is drill the guy and you're doing the right baseball thing. So they don't do it. And Hoskins gets the laugh. And then a few innings later, he laughs again.
Right.
Because he gets a home run. And then finally, in the seventh inning down 7-2, Johan Ramirez throws behind him. And in the moment, I was fired up. In the moment, I was like, thank you, Johan. But the more you let it sink in, the more you're like, now you do it?
Yeah, it's not the moment.
And you can't even hit the guy? So forget about us as Met fans being disgusted by the Mets waiting innings and innings. Here are some examples of other people looking at what the Mets did, waiting too long to do it, and mocking them. Let's start on the Met broadcast itself. They do not, on SNY, just tell you what you want to hear. They tell you the truth. Here's Ron Darling.
It's too late. It's too late to throw at a guy after he's beaten your brains in. That's not when you throw at a guy.
No. You do it when they're second and third, two outs. And you may say, well, I expect that from Ron Darling. Ronnie's telling it like it is. You know where I also heard a breakdown of this? Ripping the New York Mets?
Where?
From the most underrated talk show in America. It's called the John Sterling and Susan Waldman Show. They're on every night for about 3 hours. Here is Susan Waldman and John Sterling taking the Mets to the woodshed.
Don't you think if you're going to throw behind him or something, you do it the first time he's up, not 2 hours into the game?
Oh, look, he had three hits and four RBIs at that point. Yeah.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you, John.
Wait, how did that even come up?
Susan does her out-of-town scoreboard. And they were doing the out-of-town scoreboard. And, she loves Mendy. They all love Mendy. Uh-huh. Hopefully Mendy's going to be okay. We love Mendy. And they broke down what happened the night before. Because that was actually during Sunday's. It was Saturday night's game. So it was Saturday night. They were talking about what happened earlier in the day.
Got it.
John's right. Susan's right. Ronnie's right. In the moment, as a Met fan, I was glad they did something.
So why did they do it?
No, they didn't do enough. They tried to hit him in the seventh inning.
I know that. But why didn't they do it early?
You tell me.
I don't know. It's your team.
I think Severino first start as a Met.
They don't want to get ejected? Is that what they're afraid of?
Not wanting to get ejected.
By the way, if he does get ejected, you'll always remember it.
But you got to remember.
I'm serious.
You got to remember the year Severino had. He comes over to the Mets. You're right, Evan. As a fan, I would have liked and preferred Severino to hit him. Severino's thinking, we didn't get this guy out all day yesterday. I'm going to show the Bulls. I'm going to get him out. Mm. Unfortunately, his stuff wasn't good enough and Cookie went over the middle. And I think that's what he was thinking. I'll endear myself to the crowd by striking Hoskins out.
Right.
And he never stopped to do it
with fastball down the middle.
Well, that's the other part of it. But that's got to be the mindset he has.
Striking him out is nice. Obviously, getting him out is the ultimate goal. But don't you need to show something? Like, all year last year, we watched the Mets get drilled over and over again, and they didn't do anything about it. And so here's a situation in which you don't have to agree with Jeff McNeil or not, but Jeff was clearly pissed off. He was angry about something. So if he's that angry about it, and his team should back him up and be angry about it too, don't you have to do something more than the crap we saw in the seventh inning with Johan Ramirez?
Basically what you're saying is that Jeff McNeil, who couldn't do anything about it, he just wasn't capable of his bat to do anything about it. Somebody else had to do it for him, right? Somebody else, Luis Severino in this case, had to do it for him.
Well, you could say it's archaic that this is the way it is, this is the Stone Age, but this is baseball. Mm-hmm. You're pissed off about a slide, you drill the guy. Like, it's just what it is. And I know that sounds absurd if you're listening right now and you don't like baseball and you're just tuning in. Like, really? That's what they do? That's what they do. And the Mets didn't do any of it. And what really sucked about it is it finally happens where Johan Ramirez throws behind him. He doesn't even get hit. Johan gets ejected. Mendoza gets suspended. And it's like, it was almost the worst possible outcome.
Right.
They finally do something, and it was so pathetic. Even though I admit, was I cheering Johan Ramirez as he came off the mound? Yes, of course, we all were. We treated him like a hero. At the end of the day, what did he really do? He was Sean Estes on steroids. That's all he did. He threw behind a guy and couldn't hit him.
By the way, you know what the Mets could have done this offseason? Instead of waiting out J.D. Martinez, sign Rhys Hoskins to be the DH.
No, he was an option. He was absolutely an option. And you know one thing? He adds toughness. And he would have added that F.U.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Factor, because I think what he showed on Saturday was a big kind of FU factor. He stuck it to the Mets. He didn't do it on Sunday. Tapped into a double play with the bases loaded, but he did it on Saturday.
What did he sign for?
1 year.
1 year what?
I don't remember the figure. I'd say like 15, 16 million, something like that. Too much money?
It's too much money. They're no, seriously, they're a wait and see.
No, I agree. I think
it's
it was
just
a,
too much money.
Look, it's over.
Look at J.D. Martinez. We broke down that deal when he signed it.
And I
cost him nothing, basically.
It's not about that they should have signed him. It's about the fact that they should have done something about it.
It didn't fit what they were trying to do.
And what adds to, I think, the angst that the Met fan has is that this really just kind of leads in to some of the questions we had last year about the toughness of this team. That's part of the problem.
By the way, it's technically a 2-year deal. He has the opt out. This year's base salary is $12 million.
Whatever. And I honestly, that's not even about. I would have used. I would have signed him, but come on,
it's still too much.
Whatever. That's not the point. I don't even care.
It's not. But I mean, you can't say, "Oh, we should have signed Reese."
I know. I just don't want to sit on April 1st talking about what DH they should have signed.
Exactly. You're not going to sign Reese Hoskins.
You spent 2 weeks leading up to the day worried about what DH they should have signed.
That's far different than once the season starts. It's over. The season started. He's not on the team. He's on the Brewers. He just kicked the Mets' ass for a couple of days.
Right. But you need the toughness. So maybe you should have.
Knowing
that's what Sean's saying.
No, I agree. They do need the toughness. They didn't show any of it this weekend. They didn't show it with their bats. They didn't show it with throwing balls at it. And they didn't show it by winning, which ultimately is what we all want. What?
I'm just saying, the only Met that showed toughness was you, backing down to Spike on opening day.
That's right. I'm the one guy that showed toughness. Great. Let's go to John and Paramus. What's up, John?
Hey, Evan. Hey, Kiki. How are you guys?
What's up, dude?
What's up?
Hey, this Met team right now reminds me of an old, they're recycling like WWE scripts. We've seen this before with the Mets. Evan, humor me. What happened a couple years ago with the Dodgers with Utley? Syndergaard had his chance. They blew it. Same exact thing. Terry Collins comes running out of the dugout.
Yeah.
Puffing his chest.
You know why that one doesn't bother me as much? Because the Mets got the last laugh by winning that series. Ultimately, the Mets beat the L.A. Dodgers that year. So for everything that happened in Game 2 with the slide, and by the way, that game, Game 2 of the 2015 NLDS, as well as Game 1 of that NLDS and Game 5 of that NLDS, will be in My Mets Bible, available tomorrow.
At Amazon or wherever the hell you buy books.
But it doesn't bother me because as much as people go nuts about the ass in a jackpot, Noah Syndergaard, Chase Utley thing from the next year, like, the Mets won the war. You know, we were sitting there saying, oh, he needed to be drilled. The Mets sent him home. Like, wasn't that the ultimate gratification from 2015? That Chase Utley had one more at-bat in this series. He flied out the right field in Game 5, and the Mets won? Mm. Like, in this case, not only did the Mets not do anything about it, they lost. Like, if the Met response was to win Saturday and Sunday, and they didn't retaliate, I'd probably say the same thing. Like, you know what? They didn't show it. It annoys me a little bit, but hey, we got the last laugh. We won the war, or the battle in this case. So I don't think it's comparable to Hoskins.
The idea that Hoskins acted like a total pig all weekend long and the Mets did absolutely squat about it tells you all you need to know about this team 3 games into the
year. No, it's concerning. And it's a continuation. Nothing.
By pig, you mean just being good.
Well, with the boo-boo face and just basically dancing all over everybody's whatever.
He's not acting like a pig. He's just being good.
No, he's acting like a pig because he's doing this. And how about Jeff McNeil, instead of flapping his gums, actually punch the guy in the face?
Jeff McNeil just stands over him and like mimes like he's going to punch him and doesn't. And he's like cowering for like the hit.
Look, that's where it all started.
He knew he was going to get hit.
That's where it all started. Jeff McNeil, and we talked about this on Friday when I came in. Like, if you were that pissed off, do something about it.
Yeah.
Dare him to fight. Curb stomp him like a Seth Rollins. Yeah. Do something. Get ejected. He didn't do anything.
Get suspended. They're going to sit you for 3 games anyways.
This was what, 2 years ago where they led the league in getting hit by pitches and they just sat around? The book on this Mets team, because a lot of the guys are still around, is you could do whatever the hell you want. Who, you could prance around and the Mets will do nothing about it.
Answer me this question. Who's going to do something?
Anybody.
I know, but I'm just saying. Think of the
Think of the
team.
Yeah.
Who's going to do something?
In this spot, McNeil. It started with him. Forget Severino.
No. How about who has that, like, Like, there's a little bit of a dog you got to have to get to, like, willingly get into a fight with somebody. It's most people don't want to fight. Mm-hmm. Trust me. They just don't want to, right? They'll talk a big game, but when it actually comes time to throw some punches, they're not doing it. So who on the Mets is that guy?
I'd like to think in this spot it was McNeil because it was the slide on McNeil.
But you know it's not McNeil.
But he went after him physically. I don't care if you don't have that dog in you. If somebody comes at me, if Sean took a swipe at me right now, I'm taking a swipe back because you got in my area. You got in my zone. So do something about it. And whether it's Severino the next day, somebody's got to drill this guy. When he's sitting there doing this stuff.
You're asking a guy like Jeff McNeil to be somebody he's not. He got emotional in the moment, but that's not him.
But Tiki, here's the difference. So last year, or 2 years ago, and a little bit of last year, when they got drilled.
2 years ago, I remember.
My argument was very similar to what you're fighting back on. Someone's got to charge the mound. Like, I would just tell the team, next guy to get hit, doesn't matter who the pitcher is, go out there and beat his ass, or at least try. It's not a real fight. Right. It'll be broken up very quickly. So from that standpoint, I agree. Who wants to do that? Maybe no one would want to do that. In this case, yes, Jeff McNeil could have taken matters into his own hands on Friday, but the next option was to just hit somebody. That's it. And by the way, if you hit Rhys Hoskins straight in the back in that situation in the first inning, there's a decent chance it goes away. Mm-hmm. He gets hit. He goes to first base. Right. And nothing changes, by the way.
In his mind, he says, I deserve that. We're good.
Right. And we all move on. Or Rhys Hoskins charges the mound, and then he starts the fight. So in this case, which is different than last year when you're asking who's going to do it, all you needed was just regular baseball retaliation, and the Mets didn't try to do it until A, it was too late in the game, and then B, it wasn't executed because he didn't even hit the guy. And that's part of the problem. And I think that's where the fear comes in about this Met team, that the more things change, they stay the same. That aspect of the Mets reared its ugly head during the opening weekend of the series against the Brewers. Let's go to Kendrick and Suffern. What's up, Kendrick?
Evan, Tiki, want to just chime in real quick from last week's shenanigans. Evan, you mentioned Seth Rollins. You know, Tommy did a great job last week cashing in his money in the bank on his opening day moment. So Seth had that legendary cash in a few years ago with WrestleMania coming up this weekend. I also think historically there was a giant, Carl Banks, a WFAN legend himself, who walked LT down to the ring on a WrestleMania match. I think maybe you and Tiki should challenge Spike and Saquon in a Buried Alive, Dead to Us tag team.
Oh, nice.
Match.
Somebody call him WWE. Now,
that would be so mad. Like, you know what?
It isn't,
I think I can take Spike. Silly. Can you take Saquon?
I can run away from him for a little while.
Run away from him.
So, guys, now I got to change my tune here because I am fed up as a Mets fan with what happened this weekend. I'm listening to you guys talk about we need a dog in the lineup. Well, you know what? We have animals in our lineup right now. We have a squirrel who won't punch the other team, but he'll fight our own guy. And we have a little bunny hopping on stage at a concert on Easter weekend. Peter Cottontail Between My Legs Alonzo is at a concert jumping around, singing.
He was good. Pete was fine.
I don't mind if he goes to a concert, to a game. If these guys want to have fun, they're young guys. But do you really need to be on stage singing on the weekend that your team's getting swept? Mm-hmm. So there's a guy out there that I think we should bring back, and I don't know why he's in the doghouse, but that's Tommy Pham. I feel like he would charge them out. I felt like he brought something to us last year. I don't know if it was a clubhouse thing or what,
right.
But you guys are spot on with this. The big picture here now is going into the season, we have the same exact issues that we've had for the past few years. And the players need to realize something. The GM has changed. The managers have changed. And, Evan, I asked you this a few weeks ago. Pete is playing well, but all these moments come in losing seasons. They need to change the players if this year doesn't pan out the way that we need it to pan out, which is being competitive. Because I told you last week on Twitter Spaces, my big fear is that the Mets become a joke and the Yankees run away with the city again, kind of like the Knicks and the Nets this year. And there's not enough money that Juan Soto could be offered to leave the Yankees and come to the Queens next year.
Well,
so,
but honestly, just to the Juan Soto thing, and this should not be a thing constantly throughout this season. So I'll say this on April 1st, and I'll probably say the exact same thing on October 15th, no matter what happens. For the Mets to steal Juan Soto away from the Yankees, they're going to have to outspend the Yankees by a lot. Mm-hmm. They can't match it. They can't be up by a little bit. It's not every last time. It's leaving no doubt. And I don't think that's any different because the Mets may have a lousy year and the Yankees may have a great year. I think it's the same no matter what. Like, to steal them away in the same city, they're going to have to grossly overpay more than the Yankees are willing to pay. Now, that's a story for November of 2024, but I'm not worrying about that now, nor am I worrying about, hey, they've got to trade this guy or that guy. They're three games into the season. Now, if they're on their way to a 100-loss season, yeah, we'll evaluate it. But right now at 0-3, I'm not engaging in this, they got to trade this guy, they got to trade that guy. I'm reacting to what I've seen. And what I've seen that is concerning, and I do think Kendrick brings up a good point about a Tommy Pham. You know, maybe that kind of toughness wouldn't be bad for the locker room.
Still a free agent.
He's still out there. He's still available. Because I think what bothered us more than just the losing, though the losing bothered us the most, was the lack of toughness.
Yeah.
And the lack of toughness felt very familiar. Let's go to Jake in Connecticut. What's up, Jake?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
What's up?
I got 2 points now. My original point was about what you brought up, Evan, about the knowing the pitches ahead of time. But I just wanted to bring something up about the Jeff McNeil thing.
Yes.
Don't you think that if McNeil went to, like, Severino being the next day's starter, being like, hey, you got to hit this guy for me tomorrow, don't you think Severino would do it and McNeil with his big contract could pay his fine or, like, the days that he's not getting paid
the suspension? Maybe, but he doesn't know Sevy like that yet.
You know? I don't...
Yeah, but it's also a way for Sevy to, like, all right, here we go, guys, I'm here for you. Like, I know it's my first start, but I got your back.
You know what I think this comes down to more than Jeff McNeil? It comes down to the manager. And I understand this is new for him. It was only his third game managing. Yeah, he didn't get to manage it because he got suspended. But I think decisions like that come from the manager's office.
Do you think he's even thinking about it?
Yes, because they threw... Dude, let's get this out of the way. Did they throw at Rhys Hoskins on Saturday in the seventh inning when the ball went behind them?
Yeah,
or
of course.
Okay. So then he obviously is thinking about it because they threw at him.
I know, but...
They threw at him.
So you think
that's why he got suspended.
You think that was the skip at that point?
Of course. Well, where'd it come from? You think Johan did it on his own?
It just made no sense. I think that's what Jake is saying. It makes no sense to do it that late. It's what Susan said. It's what
Jake. Why did they throw at him Saturday in the seventh inning?
Honestly, I'm a Yankees fan, so I don't even know what the score was at the time. But
But my point is, let's use rational thinking here. First of all, ask yourself this. Did they throw at Rhys Hoskins on purpose in the seventh
Obviously,
inning?
Obviously, yes.
Obviously, yes. Sean, did they throw at him on purpose?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm sorry to bother you with that question.
No. It's
also the reasoning doesn't make sense.
What reasoning? Carlos Mendoza never admitted they threw at him. He lied and said
I understand that.
The ball slipped. He's pitching inside. All the same gibberish.
The seventh inning?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. It's happened a day ago.
By the way, I agree with you, but I think what's important is to understand they threw at him.
Right.
They threw at him. They made a decision on Saturday, we're going to throw at Rhys Hoskins. By the way, Lugie, complete the quartet here. Did they throw at him on purpose on Saturday?
Yes.
Okay. We all agree. There's no one disagreeing. MLB agreed. They suspended him. Right? We all agree. Why did they decide to do it then? Let's throw at him and let's do it here?
That's what I'm asking, because it doesn't make sense. Right? The game you're too late in the game at that point. This happened on Friday, right?
Yes, the next day.
So on Saturday, you throw at him. Why so late?
You got to throw back. Okay, here's my one thing I can come up with on the why. I'm going to give you the why, and I'm guessing here, because since we all agree they did it on purpose. That they were thinking about the suspensions. And they were thinking, if Sevy does it early, he gets thrown out of the game. We got nobody in the bullpen. And now he's suspended, even though the suspension's kind of not as bad when you're a starter, because you could serve it and not even miss a day. Right. But I think they were probably overthinking the ejection. And I think that's why they said, let's wait till late in the game when it's a guy we don't give a rat's ass about.
Okay, bullpen it and throw a reliever out there. I'm joking, but I'm being serious.
I agree. I'm just giving you the reasoning on
If it was that important to send an example to Rhys Hoskins, first of all, you have to hit him, and you need to do it early. Like, the tone needs to be set early. I mean, they came back in that game on Saturday.
Yeah.
They were getting crap beat out of them early.
Kept showing fight in that game.
No fight.
No, like, no. Offensively, they kept showing fight because they kept coming back. They ended up losing by one.
But still, the move was to do it early.
Right.
So I don't understand why doing it late like makes sense.
I think the manager overthought the suspensions and the ejections.
If it's truly on the skip, then that's bad. It's bad management.
It's 1,000% on the skip because there's no way Johan Ramirez on his own in the seventh inning of a 6-2 game said, I'm doing it.
Well, he might have, because by the time you got to that moment, Hoskins again was kicking the Mets' ass compared to that. And who knows? Maybe Johan Ramirez is the rare guy in the Mets that has the dog. Now, he did a terrible job. He didn't hit him. But maybe he said enough. The guy's kicked our ass since we should have hit him early. Let's throw behind him.
By the way, the response was the Mets scored 4 runs in the next 2 innings. Right? So maybe you should have done it earlier.
Yeah.
And the game doesn't get away from you, and you have to mount this massive comeback.
Chris is calling from Ronkonkoma. What's up, Chris?
How you doing, guys? Evan, being there on Friday, and when this happened, the thing I remembered the most is the Mets are wearing Buddy Harrelson's patch this year.
Yeah.
They had a memorial for him during the game and a silence, right, moment of silence. And you think Jeff McNeil would think he was wronged on the slide, that he would take, you know, look up the sky and say, this is for Buddy, right? Evan, it's a shame.
Yeah, I hate to tell you the truth about this, Chris. And it's funny, when they honored Buddy before the game, the picture that they used, or at least one of the pictures that they used, was him and Pete Rose about to beat the crap out of each other. Mm. So that image is lasting. So it's not as if when they honored Buddy, they left that part out. They included it. Of course, for anyone younger who doesn't know about it, Buddy Harrelson got in a fist fight with Pete Rose in the middle of the National League Championship Series on a slide in a second in 1973. But here's the truth. And you know this, and I know this, and Tiki knows this, and everybody knows this. Jeff McNeil and basically everybody on that roster has no idea. They don't know much about Bud Harrelson. They don't know about 1973. They don't know about Pete Rose. So trust me, in that moment, there's not a chance in the world Jeff McNeil's thinking, I'll do it for Buddy, because he doesn't know who he is other than I'm wearing a patch to honor him. And I'm not even saying that as an old man complaining. I understand that young players are not going to know everything about their team's history. I'm just responding to the gentleman's phone call on, hey, they should have done it for Buddy. Like, they have no idea.
Yeah, it didn't resonate. By the way, Johan Ramirez's suspensions reduced from 3 games to 2 games.
Yeah, and you know what the Mets did so brilliantly? So they appealed the suspension so he could pitch on Sunday. Those 3 innings out of the bullpen on Sunday, now he serves the suspension. He would not have been available on Monday or Tuesday anyway.
Right.
So it's not even really a suspension.
Right. Well, that's kind of actually smart, man.
It is. Unfortunately, it affects his paycheck. That's the part where he will certainly feel the suspension. Speaking of which, it was brought up by a caller. We never addressed it. One of our callers has a problem with Pete Alonso having fun on a Saturday night. Some people on social media last night had a problem with Luis Severino being at a basketball game on a Sunday night. We address it. When you're losing, are you not allowed to go out? Yes. Here we are. It's baseball season, baby. April 1st. Happy April Fool's Day. If anybody's pulled a fool, stop it. Don't know no fool's jokes on April Fool's Day. What are we doing? What are we, 9 years old? My neighbor did it to me today. My neighbor did. I go up to the bus stop to drop my 7-year-old Jet off at the bus.
And
he looks at me with his young son and says, oh, dude, you got a flat tire. And I turn around, and in that 3 seconds, I thought of a million different things. How am I going to get this fixed? I don't even know how to fix a flat tire, as we explained last week. What am I going to do?
Somehow.
Then I don't even notice it, and he's like, oh, April Fools! I'm like, you son of a bitch. And really, he knows he made a mistake, because here's why my good friend, I love the man, his name is Rob. Here's why Rob made a mistake, and he knows this, and he's probably finding out about it right now. He did the April Fools in front of his son, and he did it in front of my son. Mm. And you know what happened at school today, Rob? Our sons were terrors. They probably started screaming, you got a bug on you, April Fools! You did it, April Fools! Jet could have been like, I saw the Mets and Nets win yesterday. April Fools.
That's a good one.
That was my only issue with it. Don't bring attention to the April Fools to the kids, because they're going to abuse it.
Right, and they don't get it.
No.
They just say things that are obvious lies.
Yes.
And then obviously just say April Fools, and they think they're okay.
Long time
at the principal's office.
Long time ago, I had a different radio show. I was working at XM Satellite Radio many, many years ago. And I tried a lot of different things there. And one of the things I tried was on the first of every month would be Fool's Day. It was very Z Morning Zoo-like, I must admit. And so we would call people on the first of every month and prank them.
Okay.
And so one time I called my aunt. And I forget what I told her.
Don't you have to tell them?
I found that out, yes. I told you I was learning stuff.
Oh, God.
No, I was learning, man. I was young. XM Radio, we had 175 listeners. And I'm on the air. I'm just trying to learn how to do radio, bro. Just doing the best I can. And my aunt, mother, bleeped me.
On air?
For 5 minutes straight.
Nice.
But luckily, it was satellite radio and nobody was listening.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And it's okay.
It's okay. Now, what is not okay, according to many Met fans, and I'm so glad that Tiki Barber is here to address this, because this is one of those things that me, Loogie, Sean, everybody around here, except for you and Boomer, could talk about, but we don't know the truth. And that is the idea that we do not allow our athletes to lose and then have fun. Mm-hmm. Not allowed. Mm. So Pete Alonso, who did not have a bad weekend by any stretch, his defense wasn't great, if we're being honest, but at the plate, he was fine. His first home run had a couple of base hits to right field. Like, he wasn't bad. He wasn't the culprit. Pete Alonso went to who was it, Zach Bryan or Luke Bryan?
Zach Bryan. Zach Bryan.
I get them confused. My apologies.
Zach Bryan.
He went to Zach Bryan's show at UBS on Saturday night, okay? And he goes on stage, and he starts dancing and humping the air and having a great time. Because that's who Pete is. He's a lovable, lovable guy.
Of course.
On Sunday night, much like me and Jet, there was another human who did the Mets-Nets doubleheader. If you thought it was just me, I wasn't alone. Luis Severino went to Barclays.
Who the heck did it at the same time?
No one did it?
No, but I didn't get where you were going.
Like, who else would go to the Nets?
Luis Severino. I got it. But he obviously wasn't pitching. He was just kind of hanging out in his uniform.
He went to the game.
Yeah, he was at the game.
He went to the Met game the way me and Jet went to the Met game. We sat there, watched, and ate. Like, that's all we did.
Yes.
So Luis Severino goes to the game. He gets, by the way, zero reaction from the crowd. I mean, nobody could give a rat's ass that Luis Severino was there.
At the Net game.
At the Brooklyn Net LA Laker game,
so
yes.
They put him on the Jumbotron?
They did. They put him on the Tron.
They identified him correctly.
They said New York Met right-hander Luis Severino.
And there was crickets.
It was like very... Crickets is not fair. It was just muted. It was like, okay. Yeah, all right, whatever. Which I think says a few things. It says, who was at Barclays Center last night for LeBron against the Nets?
Mostly Laker fans or LeBron fans. LeBron. Maybe not Laker fans, but people who wanted to go see LeBron.
Right. So there may not be a crossover between that and Mets.
So a lot of those people are probably like, who the heck? But baseball? Is this baseball?
See, that's what I agree with you. I don't think it was a Met Yankee thing. I think it was a baseball thing.
I think you're absolutely right.
Like, what's a Luis Severino? The hell is that? So I post that on social media last night amongst the dogs playing basketball, which was fascinating at halftime. And there are Met fans angry that Severino dare went out on a Sunday night.
Hmm.
Now, there were some people saying he should have gone to the Garden to watch the Knicks against the Thunder, which is a different story altogether. By the way,
they would have put him on, he would have got cheered.
I agree. Did anybody do the Mets-Knicks doubleheader? Like, forget the Mets-Nets doubleheader, because I'm a loser, I admit that. Did anybody do, hey, I'm a Met fan, oh, the Knicks are playing OKC tonight, I'm going to go to both?
Somebody did.
Somebody had to.
Not even kidding. You get someone to call up right now. Nah, phone lines are jammed. Tell someone to email me right now with proof. I'm going to give my tickets to a Met game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Proof. If you did the Mets, Knicks.
Or I'll include the Nets, but I don't think anybody did.
Right.
If you did the Knicks too, I think this is not an official contest. This is me being a nice guy.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm not giving you anything. Just prove it to me and we'll talk off air. You can't prove it. I'll give you my Mets Bible. Because that would be very impressive. But I'm sorry. Let me get to the point where I ask you. Are you not allowed to go out when your team sucks?
Of course you can go out when your team is playing poorly. You just don't want to be sitting where people are going to see you. You know what I mean? Front row.
Right.
Camera comes up. Hey, we're going to take a video of you. Put you on the Jumbotron. You politely decline.
So, Pete, let's stick with Pete. He made a mistake going on stage?
So, Pete's different. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
So, Seve was sitting first row?
He was courtside, yes.
Courtside?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the mistake.
The mistake is courtside.
Is courtside.
You're two in front.
So, I'm assuming he likes basketball. Or maybe he just wanted to see LeBron.
I said this to a few people on social media. This is not a Net Nick thing. I'm not boring you with this.
No.
He went to see LeBron James.
So,
I went to see LeBron James. Me, Mr. Net fan. I went on a Sunday night on freaking Easter to take my son to see LeBron. I did not go to see Cam Thomas.
Look,
no
I
offense.
I don't know if he bought the tickets. I'm assuming he didn't.
He did not buy the tickets because when you're shown on the big screen, yes, that's a sign that it was a freebie.
Right. And so if he really wanted to go see LeBron, he should have spent the $800 or $1,000 or $2,000 because he took his wife. He should have spent the money and just gone to see LeBron.
Really?
Because the last thing you want to do is when you are not that he was great, but whatever.
He wasn't good.
The team is not good right now, is to be publicly showing whatever yourself.
So you wouldn't have done this?
I would have. If I wanted to see LeBron, yes, I would have went, but I would not have sat courtside.
You would have been quiet so no one knew about it.
Exactly.
Because the truth is, I wouldn't have known about it. You think I would have known if Luis Severino was at a Laker Net game? I wouldn't have tweeted.
Put a hat on, put a, you know, whatever, have a jacket, you know, collar up.
That's interesting.
Nobody knows.
Interesting. So you say Sevy can go, he's got to be quiet.
Yes.
What about Pete now?
So now Pete.
Because Pete's taking a lot of crap, bro.
Pete's a different. So I don't know if he knows Zach Bryan, because he might. Right, you never know when an athlete has a crossover with an artist.
Yeah,
because they're fans of him; he's fans of them. Right, it just kind of happens, and so I get why Pete did this. And Pete, because Pete is balled the first week into the season. Right, his OPS is over 1,000. He's hitting over 400. He had a first home run of the season. You can get away with it because you did well, but when you do poorly, and then the team also does poorly, it's hard to get away
so
with.
So Jeff McNeil could not have been on the stage in your
That's
mind.
Right.
Pete Alonso can get away with it because he hit a home run down 7-5 in the ninth inning.
When you're losing, nobody wants to see you.
No, I agree.
Nobody cares. They don't want to be reminded of how bad the team is. But I think there's a caveat because Pete is Pete, first of all, and he's also playing well to start the season.
Yeah, so I was on the side against the Met fans complaining about this, not because I'm a Pete apologist, but because as a human being, I know that sometimes it's good to get away. Sometimes it's good to do something that's completely different. And in Pete Alonso's case, even if he went 0-for-5 with 5 strikeouts, rocking out drunk at a country music show is awesome. And it's something that I would potentially do if I was depressed about something.
He might know Zach.
He probably does.
I'm sure in some capacity there's a connection.
But like I can see that. Like I can understand that because I know as a human, I'm certainly not Pete Alonso. Even though I'm the sports guy and that's all I do, trust me, there are times I get away and do other things. I just don't talk about it that much.
But why is baseball different than, say, football in this terms? Because I think the bigger deal is the Mets were playing a game Sunday at 1 o'clock and he's at a concert that's not going to end past 11. If this was the NFL and they had a 1 o'clock game, Tiki knows the teams and the players have
curfews. Yes.
Zach Bryan was playing another show last night at UBS. Back-to-back shows. The Mets did not have a day game today. Why did Pete Alonso have to go Saturday night, even if he knew Zach Bryan?
Because it's Saturday night.
Yeah, but still Sunday. He's a baseball player. He's waking up for work the next morning. He's not on
Tiki,
Monday.
I got a really important question because I don't know the answer. I'm not sure you'll know it. And if you need to take the call now, take it now. Call Sabathia and ask him, were there curfews on a Saturday night when there's a game at 1 o'clock the next day? Because I genuinely, Sean, it's a great point. I have no idea what the answer is.
Because football players do.
I get that, but are there curfews?
I don't think baseball players do.
Especially when they're home, right?
Right.
They're at home. There's no curfew, right? There's no rule against that.
But don't you think it's
a better rule? That's why I'm asking. Ask CeCe, because I don't know the answer to that.
I'll write him.
But I appreciate it.
Keep in mind also Sunday's Easter. We don't know what his plans were at Easter night. Maybe he was with his family.
Right.
It's a holiday,
that's right.
And that's why he went Saturday.
And by the way, he had 2 hits on Sunday, so...
No, but I'm being honest, even if it wasn't Pete and it was Lindor who did nothing.
If there was anybody.
My attitude would be, they're freaking humans. Like, here's where I'd have an issue. I'll be honest with you. Here's where I would say I have a problem. If the Mets just got knocked out of the postseason.
Yes.
And even then you could argue he's letting out steam. Who cares?
Right, and it's game two.
Right.
And who like there's a lot of baseball to be played. 159 for them. There's a lot of games left. So get it out of your way.
I'm just asking.
I think Zach is only here for a night, right?
It was 2 nights, but to that point, is that the difference?
Well, one is on Easter, but still.
So, is that simply the difference, though, that baseball plays 162 games to let these guys do whatever they want?
Yes.
In football, you have one night to focus?
Right. In football, you prepare for a game a week, one. So if you're jacking around on Saturday night and the team loses, even if you did great, that's on you, right? Because you're a distraction.
Right.
It's one night. Baseball, you're playing every day. So... Like, when are you going to do anything? Hey,
no,
honey, let's get away. We got to have a date night. No, we can't because we lost, so I got to stay home. You know, can we just order DoorDash?
Yeah, there's no way. Right? The more I think about that, there's no freaking way when you're at home in your own, like, bed that there's a curfew on you.
But even
there's no way. You just talk
I'm
about
almost positive there's not.
Yeah.
I'm almost positive.
That's fine, but you just talk about Severino going courtside. Then does Pete have to jump on stage and sing and dance? Why can't he just enjoy the concert?
I'm saying the reason that happened is he had to have some relationship with
I know.
Guy. There's no chance.
I know.
And but, so Zach's like, hey, Pete, man, you want to come up and, you know, sing a song? And it's like, yeah, cool. That'd be awesome.
Let me tell you about Pete Alonso. I only know him a little bit. Like, and very on the surface, the charity events and all that. He's freaking nuts. Like, he knows how to have a good time. Pete Alonso knows how to have a good time. I don't have an issue with that.
Yeah, let Pete Alonso be Pete Alonso.
Let Pete be Pete, Sean. And why are you always killing him?
I think there's an extra standard because he's a superstar.
Totally. By the way, I'm not killing him because I get drunk at country concerts all the time. I can understand why fans would look at it and go, we're playing at 1 o'clock tomorrow. Come on.
Yeah. No, they're just mad. They're just reacting because the Mets are 0-3.
Yeah, I'm mad they're 0-3 too. But I'll tell you something else. They play a baseball game in 2.5 hours, and I think the weather's cleared, so we're good to go for tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pumped up. It's an important game. Can't believe I'm saying that.
Jeez.
You know who that drives nuts? My dad. My dad hates must-win important games in April. He thinks it's stupid. He's like, okay, if they lose, then what? And I totally understand his point. Like, there's a part of me that agrees with him 80% of the time. But then what I would say is, well, when does it become important? When you're 0-7? When you're 0-9?
Yeah, it's got to mean something at some point.
Yeah, what point is it like, hey, this one, you kind of have to get this one? Let's go to Dino in South Plainfield. What's up, Dino?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
We're good.
So before I get to my point with the Mets, as far as players going out, it's beginning of season. As a fan, I don't really care, even if they're losing. It's first 2-3 games. But my point with the Mets is, and you guys mentioned Tommy Pham, and I think he kind of hinted to this, even directly said it. I mean, I've been saying this last year. This team has no heart. They don't have, like, a winning attitude, like that winning drive. I don't see it in them. And Tiki, I know you're an athlete. I mean, there's a difference between having emotions, hitting a home run, getting excited, but and having that winning attitude with heart. Like, I don't see it in them.
Well, there's a couple of things I think teams need. One is, and we talk about this with the Yankees, the high AQ, because on Thursday when we did our show, it was short because the Yankees were playing early. I was like, somebody needs to get up there and yell, this is the Astros. We got to go kick their ass. They dominate us in the... Like, I realized I was wrong about that because they play so smart, right? And we had a caller earlier mention this, and they're right. The Yankees are not just relying on home runs to score runs. They were able to manufacture, get on, steal base, you know, clutch hitting. They're playing a high IQ level of baseball. So you need that to win. But sometimes if that's not there, you kind of need attitude. And I feel like the Mets didn't have any of that, at least in the position players, for a lot of this weekend, and it's why they lost, right? So, as we were talking about earlier, the Jeff McNeil, situation with Rhys Hoskins, who is that Met who takes the aggression and, like, makes it part of the clubhouse?
Right.
And I don't know if that's existing. And, right, it's one thing to say, oh, we're just going to play smart baseball, but then when you can't or you don't, and you're anemic, like, something's got to lift.
Right.
So we talk about, you know, throwing behind Rhys Hoskins in the seventh inning. It actually sparked him a little bit.
Yeah, they scored a couple of runs.
Right. They scored 3 in the eighth and 1 in the ninth. So, I mean, it made it a game. But it took a little bit of an attitude. And if they don't have that, I don't know if this team is just good enough to just let baseball help them win. That's just not going to happen sometimes.
Let's go to Joey in Cliffside Park. How you doing, Joey?
Hey, guys.
What's up?
So thank you for taking my call. I am not a Yankee fan, but I could not help but notice an eerie similarity between what the Yankees just did against their nemesis Astros and the 1986 Mets. Early in the 1980s, the St. Louis Cardinals were beating, like, the Mets silly and stealing bases, and they just could not, the Mets could not handle them. And then in 1986, early in the season, in April, they had a 4-game series in St. Louis. They went in there. And they swept them.
And I think Whitey Herzog basically conceded the NL East after that series, too. If not memory, because I was too young, but the 86 highlight video, I think, reminded me of.
Right.
Because that's my knowledge of 86 is the highlight video. But I think you're right. And I think it's a very interesting comparison. And I've brought this up a lot over the years, and it usually doesn't involve New York teams. And that is a team that comes into a year with that edge of revenge. And I was talking about this on Friday with Beningo, actually, about the Celtics. I've said this about the Boston Celtics, that, you know, because the Knicks' route to an NBA Finals will go through Boston. That's the team you got to beat. And my fear of the Boston Celtics, they have the look of a team that remembers how they got knocked out in the Eastern Conference Finals. The look of a team that remembers how they lost the NBA Finals.
Right.
They look like an on-the-mission team. Just like the San Antonio Spurs, after losing to Miami in the Ray Allen series, looked like a mission team. The Kansas City Royals, we know about this, in 2015, after losing the seventh game of the World Series, looked like an on-the-mission team. I've seen this before. And I think your hope as a Yankee fan is, are you the on-the-mission team? You didn't lose dramatically last year, mm-hmm. but you got embarrassed. Like, let's think about the last two things the New York Yankees accomplished, the end of the 22 season and all of 23. What happened? Well, in 2022, they got, going to use something inappropriate now, B-slapped in the American League Championship Series. They got annihilated by their daddies. Yeah. You know it. I know it. We all know it. I think Keith McPherson told me a year ago, it was embarrassing. I didn't even want to go back to that building as that was going on. And I get it. It was bad. And then they followed it up by a horrible regular season. A horrible one in which they won 82 games. Is it possible with the new additions, the New York Yankees are the on-the-mission team? They remember what happened in 22. They remember what happened in 23. And now they've got the horses of guys who've won something before mm-hmm. in Juan Soto and Alex Verdugo, who are like, well, really, Juan Soto, I'm here, and we're going to change things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's easy to see that. And now it's going to depend on health, just like it should have last year. Everybody went down early. And from rotation to, you know, key position players, if they stay healthy, of course they can be on the mission team. But I think we kind of forget sometimes that it's not just going to happen because, hey, we had a great first weekend and we have all the pieces we need. They kind of had the pieces they needed last year.
Right, right.
Just everybody got hurt. And so stay healthy. That's the key to almost every sport. In football, we always used to say, you start the same team on week one that you start on Super Bowl Sunday, you have a shot, right? If you don't, good luck. Same thing as in baseball. You got to have health. And, you know, so far, save the Garrett Cole thing, the Yankees are pretty healthy.
And now they've lost DJ, and nobody cares.
Because Oswaldo
looks great.
Dude, I got to tell you, if DJ comes back and it's like, all right, Oswaldo's been on this tear for however long DJ's out, let's say 3 weeks.
You're going to play him.
You're going to play DJ?
No, you're going to play Oswaldo.
Exactly.
No, I agree with you.
Like, I love you, DJ. I don't want to see you.
No, especially because even though we had a good second half last year, you haven't seen La Machine in a long, long time. Mm-hmm. Look, Oswaldo Cabrera's got a real opportunity in front of him, and so far, so good. More Yankees and Mets coming up. We'll get back to your calls as well at 877-337-6666.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.